Hey everyone, it's The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Tanzina this week. 19 years ago, the United States declared measles had been eradicated. But in 2018, there were more than 300 cases of the potentially lethal and incredibly contagious virus. Last week, Washington State declared a state of emergency with at least 41 confirmed cases, mostly in Clark County. 37 of those people had not been vaccinated.
Right now, our main objectives are to control the outbreak, to identify cases as soon as we can, identify exposure locations, and at those exposure locations, as soon as possible, identify people who are at risk for the disease, who are basically unimmunized.
That's Dr. Alan Melnick. He's the Clark County Public Health Director. Here to talk with us about the recent outbreaks is Dr. Walter Ornstein. Dr. Ornstein is a professor at Emory University and the associate director of their vaccine center. Dr. Ornstein, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So let's start with what we're seeing in Washington State. What details do we know now about this particular outbreak?
I think the big problem we're seeing is clusters of children who have not been vaccinated according to recommendations. And measles is so contagious, and there is measles, unfortunately, in most countries of the world. When people bring it back, there is fertile ground for it to spread.
Are these cases connected? Are they children, and do they know each other? Are they part of the same community? Do we know anything?
I don't know exactly about the outbreak in Washington. I can talk about it in general. In general, people are in clusters of poorly vaccinated or unvaccinated groups that allow susceptibles to get infected and transmit to one another. The way measles spreads is it's a person-to-person spread disease. You have an infectious person coming in contact with a susceptible person, transmitting infection. That person later becomes sick and transmits to another. And it's this chain of infection that's the problem. And that's where vaccination is so important, because when people are immune, you break the chains of transmission.
On top of fighting a public health crisis, Dr. Alan Melnick, who we heard from at the top, he's the Clark County Public Health Director. He says he's also combating a swirl of misinformation spreading on Facebook and other social media platforms. Take a listen.
Nonsense that the immunization causes autism. Nonsense that people with the vaccine shed the virus and expose others, and that the vaccine causes measles. There's misinformation about the vaccine causing seizures. People are calling us with these questions.
Dr. Ornstein, during outbreaks of any kind, how much of a factor is this type of fake discourse on social media?
Well, it depends on the outbreak, but yes, it is a problem, and it has become more of a problem as social media gets to more people. And we have to overcome this non-science and non-factual based concerns. And it is not easy. In a sense, we need communications research as to how we can convince people what the real data are, what the real information is, and not the false information. The comprehensive studies have been done that have shown measles or measles, mumps, rubella vaccine does not cause autism. It does cause some mild reactions, but they're nothing compared to diseases like measles, like they prevent. And the prevention far outweighs any risks from the vaccines. Far, far outweighs.
Dr. Ornstein, the outbreak in New York was largely concentrated in the Orthodox and Hasidic Jewish communities. Can you talk a little bit about how cultural and religious factors can contribute to the spread of a virus like measles?
I think what happens is people mistakenly look at their religion and say, we shouldn't be getting a vaccine. There is really no religion that prohibits vaccination, although you can get religious exemptions in 47 of the 50 states from the school laws. But the other big concern is people attributing problematic things to vaccines that the science doesn't support. For example, if 90% of children are vaccinated, then 90% of the bad things that were going to happen anyway will happen in vaccinated children just by coincidence. What you need is science to determine what is causally related and coincidentally related. And where the science has shown, for example, with autism, is there is no causal relationship between the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and autism. And the benefits of the vaccines far, far outweigh the risks. I mean, measles is not a trivial disease. Temperatures are often 103 to 105 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm. Children are very, very sick. And we have a way of preventing it. And we need to get that across.
But aren't these vaccinations required? Like, how are people avoiding getting their children vaccinated?
First of all, the vaccines are generally required for entry to school. So you have a whole period prior to school where there is no law in actual effect. Second is all laws have exemptions. All 50 states have laws with medical contraindications as an exemption. 47 states have laws with religious exemptions, and then a number have personal belief exemptions. And it's these exemptions, if they cluster, can be a fertile ground for spread of measles if it's introduced.
Before a vaccine was introduced in 1963, how common was it to contract measles?
Before a vaccine was introduced, virtually everybody got measles.
Wow.
There were an estimated roughly 4 million cases of measles a year in the United States, about 500 deaths, about 48,000 hospitalizations. It was not a trivial disease.
And how effective is the vaccine? What are the chances that you can contract measles even if you are vaccinated?
The vaccine is very effective. On average, after the first recommended dose, about 93% of people are protected. And after the second dose, more than 97% are protected. So it is highly effective. But the other thing is it's not 100% effective. We're protected when we have very high immunity levels, because the other way we protect is by not letting people get exposed.
Dr. Walter Ornstein is a professor and associate director at Emory's Vaccine Center. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.